It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 26th day of July, 2022. This is the Horn Headon.live. It's where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That, of course, is where you go if you'd like to, help us keep this program on the air first and foremost, because we're in a bad way. The fundraising goal is down to $2,170, and that is a lot. Yeah, a lot. $2,170 to finish the month of July. We have tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday to do that in, so that's $700 a night. Thank you so much to our dear friend Christopher, who kept us away from a goose egg yesterday evening. Thank you, Christopher. I hope you're listening. You met Ralph's challenge. Thank you. What I was going to say is, in addition, of course, if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room, pop on by, click on Chat Room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, wander on in, and, enjoy the frivolity and the camaraderie that obtains therein each and every evening. If you pop by now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Theo and Squeaky and, for heaven's sakes. Didn't mean to do that. I accidentally signed myself out of the chat room. There I am. Bill would be greeted by early arrivers Squeaky and Anatole and Theo and incapably moderated by, yours truly. Every program here at the Horn does begin with gratitude, and so we do say thank you to our 26th day of the month subscribers. And that means, in particular, in addition to Christopher, thank you, Christopher. Thank you to Brandon and Fennell in Brooklyn. And thank you as well to our buddy Dennis in Columbus. Thank you so much. And thanks to Sharon. And thanks to Emilio. Thank you both for being partial sponsors of the program. And Ralphs is re-extending. Ralphs is trying to keep things going here. If somebody contributes $25, I'll contribute $25. So there we go. Thank you, Ralphs. You're so kind. You're so very, very kind, and I do appreciate it. We all do. That would be an opportunity to, we'd be able to get it down to $21.20. Oh, dear, another $8, and we'd be a Rush album, wouldn't we? 21-12. But and there's New Jersey Nick popping into the chat room. Stockton Larry, hey y'all, welcome, welcome, one and all. I'm not late to air today. Yay. But nonetheless, did have a little, these Tuesdays, my surgery happened on a Tuesday. It was Tuesday, November the 9th. And I've kind of kept track all along the way. Nobody, and so this is week 37. 37 weeks since that momentous day. I'd never had more than anything more complicated than a tonsillectomy prior to that. And life has been an absolute wonder ever since. And so every day, every week, every Tuesday that rolls around, I can add, because I can cipher that much. I can add 36 plus 1 is 37. I will be almost exactly 9 weeks. Well, I'll be one week and one day short of 9 weeks if I get to go to my checkup appointment a week from yesterday down in the greater Nash Vegas area. Sure hope I do. But I was out errand running earlier today, and I pulled into the Wiggling Pig. And in point of fact, I was actually chatting with Tracy at the moment, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I noticed the lights went out at the Wiggling Pig. And so whatever I'd intended to go and get at the Wiggling Pig was not going to happen, because when the lights go out, and Appalachian Power is your provider, they stay out for a while. I feel for my friends up there at the Wiggling Pig, because, if you're running a grocery store and the power goes out, bad things begin to happen rather quickly. That's true. New Jersey Nick pointing out Joe to the mansion born has the Rona. That he does. And Joe Biden and Joe Manchin both. And I don't know, maybe this is the Joe variant. I have no idea. Is he in the hospital? Stockton Larry asking, which hospital is Manchin being treated for the Rona? Is he in? I think they both have mild cases, and they got the antiviral oral medication and the best medicine money can buy, and of course, well, never mind. But anyway, I watched the power go out. Maybe it was funnier in real time than it will be telling the story here on the air. But I sat there and watched. The store went dark. The big Piggly Wiggly sign on the front of the store went out. You couldn't see into the store. It was dark. And it didn't take long before another car pulled up in the parking lot and older couple got out, and the Wiggling Pig, like most grocery stores, has an electronic door, electronic eye, and the door opens for you, and they walked up to the door, and the door didn't open, and they just stood there looking at it for rather a lengthy period of time, just looking at it, kind of got the head tilted. They turned around, walked away, and then turned back around, walked toward the door. Door still not open. And if there'd been a thought balloon above, why door not open? But not to be deterred, then they just pushed through the door and went on into the darkened grocery store, where I guess they figured the clerks had hauled out the handy-dandy trusty abacuses in order to keep the business going. Saw another fellow walk up to it expecting the door to open. It didn't open, and he almost drove his face into the glass. And at that point in time, I'm just sitting there with a little head in my hands. No. Well, you got no tattoo. Unscannable. I Yeah, it's just my life, my world. Because, you know, we are some curious little primates, and we are creatures of habit. And when you expect the electronic door to open and it doesn't open, consternation happens. Precisely, Lee in New York has learned the language of the program. You mean like cows looking at a new gate? Kinda, yeah. That was the line that Annette used when I came back and told her the story. And it was Ferg who came up with the thought balloon line. Why door not open? And I spelled Y, just the letter Y, door not open. This little slice of life, you know, here in the hills and hollers of Almost Level, west by Cole. Manchinia. Yeah. Now, apparently, both Joe Manchin and Lisa Murkowski have tested positive for the Rona. Melanie Zanona, writing at CNN, describing them as two key moderate senators. Oh, Melanie! Really? If Joe Manchin's a moderate, I'm Che Guevara. I'm not Che Guevara. Moderate. Joe actually, well, or someone Joe pays, tweeted, "This morning I tested positive for COVID-19. I'm fully vaccinated and boosted and I'm experiencing mild symptoms. I will isolate and follow CDC guidelines as I continue to work remotely aboard my yacht to serve West Virginians." I added the aboard my yacht part. I confess I did. And then Gail Manchin, do you know about it? I mean, him and Lisa, what? Just saying. Because it was a little bit later when Lisa Murkowski said, "After experiencing flu-like symptoms, I recently tested positive for COVID-19. I will be following guidance and advice from doctors and will be quarantining at home in Alaska while continuing my work remotely." Now, this is that time of year in Alaska when they have mosquitoes the size of eagles, don't they? And then writing at CNN, Melanie Zanona says, "It's unclear what effect, if any, Manchin's isolation will have on Democrats' efforts to make progress on their legislative agenda." Ooh, that's a little shady. "The Senate has a little under 2 weeks before it's scheduled to start its August recess, and Democrats have indicated hopes in passing bills from protecting same-sex marriage to increasing funding." Well, see, that drives me a little crazy. "In passing bills protecting some same-sex marriages, not all of them, not ones in the future, to increasing funding for semiconductor production in the U.S. and changing laws surrounding prescription drug prices, among other issues, before leaving town for about a month." Yeah, because only the Democrats are going to leave town, Melanie. Titanic Tuesday. Oh, somebody, please, somebody at CNN, call Melanie Zanona into the editor's shed. As one of the most moderate Democrats in Congress, Manchin represents an important vote in the Senate. You know, when it comes to writing about Joe Manchin, there needs to be some sort of reality show called Ask a Hillbilly. One of the most moderate voice, please. He's a right-wing conservative, Mel. I mean, really? Matt in San Francisco says, "Joe to the Manchin born has Rona. I'm glad to know he has a great government health care plan, you know, since he's been such a champion for single payer and making sure all West Virginians as well as the rest of us have great affordable health care plans. Actually, the first thought that came to my mind had him doing something to himself and feeding him catfish. I was thinking more like fish heads, but, well, I am, you know, Matt, I understand your sentiment. So that's just, you know, that's just a little taste of where we are today for this Titanic Tuesday. And then there's representing Glenn Thompson. Representing Glenn Thompson is a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republican. And he's done been to a wedding. Yeah, it was charming. His boy, Glenn Thompson, the Republican member of Congress from Pennsylvania, Bamistan. He went to his son. His son got all married up, and proud mama and proud papa were right there for the nuptials. They were. In fact, Madison Stone, who is a spokescreep for representing Thompson, said, Congressman and Mrs. Thompson were thrilled to attend and celebrate their son's marriage on Friday night as he began a new chapter in his life. The Thompsons are very happy. You know, you can tell because Madison Stone used very. I think it was Mark Twain who said something like, if you really want to write a strong and effective sentence, say very damned happy. Or use very and damned to modify the sentence. And then go back and cut out the very and the damned, and you'll have a pretty good sentence. The Thompsons are very happy to welcome their new son-in-law into their family. Well, I think that's sweet. I think that's lovely that they're so that they're with the modern world. They're accepting. Their son has found someone that he loves and loves him, and with whom he wants to spend his life and enter into matrimony. And so somebody popped the question to somebody else, and somebody said yes. And so Representative Thompson was right there at his son's marriage to the man of his dreams. And I'm not being a bitch about this. I hope it was a lovely ceremony. The only problem is, a couple of days before, Representing Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania had voted no on the Respect for Marriage Act. You know, the bill that protects existing marriages. Yeah. Ooh, not a good look. Glenn, read the room, buddy. Madison Stone, the spokescreep for Thompson, said, this bill was nothing more than an election year messaging stunt for Democrats in Congress who have failed to address historic inflation and out-of-control gas prices and grocery prices. Oh, aren't you petulant, Madison? Yeah, there's only one problem. It wasn't a messaging stunt. Apparently, Madison Stone missed out on Clarence Thomas's concurrence in Dobbs when he said that Obergefell must be taken back to court and must be overturned, meaning that marriages legal in Pennsylvania, Bamistan would no longer be legal. Now, if this bill passes, of course, Glenn Thompson's boy and Glenn Thompson's husband, their marriage will be protected because it will pre-exist the passage of the legislation. But if you're not married now, and Slappy Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas gets his way, along with Brat and Amy COVID, the handmaid. Never speak her name. And Sammy Bad Breath and Ann's boy Neil with a K, Gorsuch. And old dead-eyed balls and strikes John Roberts. Well, if they get their way, future marriages will just be no, unless the states themselves move to make it legal, and you can bet your ass that the bunch of them won't, about as many as aren't, as are actively trying to make abortion illegal. Hey, thank you to Non-Billable Rick. Non-Billable Rick just answered Ralph's challenge and doubled down on it. So that means we're actually down to $2,070. $2,070 to try to get this whole thing caught up. Thank you, not billable Rick. Thank you so much. As to representing Thompson, Matt in San Francisco says, I'll bet $5 the gay wait staff at the wedding peed in his drink. Oh, I would have paid him $5 to do it.
Lovey, does this champagne taste odd to you?
Why, yes, dear. It doesn't seem to be quite as fizzy as it usually is.
I wonder if the wait staff knew, Matt. Because the wedding was Friday, the voting against the wedding was a couple of days before. Interviewed by a local newspaper after Obergefell that made marriage equality the law of the land back in 2015, representing Thompson told the said paper,
regardless of my personal beliefs and my continued support for states' rights, today's ruling must be followed by adequate congressional oversight in order...
I know, wrong accent.
In order to assure that the federal protections of the U.S. Supreme Court has granted to same-sex couples does not infringe upon the religious liberties of others.
Oh, shut up. Nobody's going to make some dress-wearing priest marry a couple of gay guys. Or lesbians. Or non-binaries. But, of course, that's the coin of the realm in the Republican Party. And he couldn't wait. He absolutely could not wait to vote against people just like his son. God. Oh, and while we're talking about the sort of tangentially the Supreme Court of the United States, it's another one of those moments where, oh look, multimillionaires are catching up with the broke ass independent broadcaster. The headline reads CNN. Draft opinion leak killed Roberts' efforts to convince conservative justices to save Roe. Huh, how about that? That's exactly what we said at the time of the leak back in May. Remember? That the draft had been out there banging around the Supreme Court since February? And that if say it was going to be a clerk for Sotomayor or Kagan or Breyer, that would have been the time for them to leak it. But to leak it up in May, that means that somebody was making a little progress against those five people who signed off on it, or some member thereof, and they only needed one. And so... The way the story runs, Roberts reportedly aimed his persuasion efforts at Justice Brett Kavanaugh And if this doesn't just make make the kibble come up, whom the Chief Justice has known since the early 90s when they both worked in the George H.W. Bush administration. And to a certain extent, a lesser degree, the article says, old Balls and Strikes also tried to sway the handmaid. To no avail. And it was May 2nd when the draft opinion was published by Politico after having been leaked. And way down at the bottom of the story, the penultimate paragraph, though Roberts has opened an investigation into the matter, the source of the leak is still unknown, and it will remain unknown. Except for the fact that, I mean, come on. The leak came from Sammy Bad Breath's office. The calls were coming from inside the house. Because he's the only one with a motive to do it. Well, okay, maybe Brat, maybe the hand, but it did not come from the left wing. It came from someone with a vested interest in making sure that tremendous political pressure was brought to bear on the other four justices who had signed off on this revolting assault on anyone capable of becoming pregnant in the United States of America, regardless of how they identify. You know, you'd think something like a document being provided to Politico, you might be able to look at the network and find out who hit print on what machine, then maybe compare it to the personnel records and see who was in the building at the time. But I guess not. Or maybe it wasn't printed. Maybe it was just emailed. I guess they don't have, like, swanky, highfalutin networks inside the Supreme Court. How about the metadata that's collected by cell phone companies on an almost minute-by-minute basis in this country? Because I would. I really would. Given the fact that the right wing was hopping up and down and picking little fleas off each other and screeching and so forth about who about the liberals done leaked our sacred precious Dobbs opinion. Wonder what it would do to find out that maybe it was in fact Sammy Bad Breath. Now, and I don't have an answer to this, but it's not a rhetorical question. I just don't have an answer to it. Would that be grounds for, I mean, is that just a breach of Supreme Court protocol? Or would that be grounds for somebody to finally, craft and file a bill of impeachment? Would it be grounds for dismissal, for termination of the clerk who did the dirty business? Because I just feel like somebody had to do it for Sammy Bad Breath, because I don't get the idea that he's a very high-tech kind of dude. But the dirty deal is done. And more dirty deals are in the offing. And state by state, women's most basic rights to privacy are falling. And when those rights fall, the rights of others will fall as well. Have you noticed, Ron in Raleigh says, many right-wing asshats like Marginal Trailer Queen and Doug Mastriano of Pennsylvania are now calling themselves Christian nationalists. And provides me an article about Gerald L. K. Smith, the Nazi sympathizer, anti-Semitic progenitor of the Christian nationalist movement. Ron in Raleigh says, I believe our for-profit media need to bring this to light. Well, yeah, I'm not sure they should, but they'd probably have to do some, they'd have to both cider it. And I don't know if we can stomach that much nausea. And something I pointed out a couple of days ago. You know, both siderism isn't just an annoying for-profit journalism phenomenon. It's oh so much more than that. It's actually dangerous. When one gives breath to both siderist nonsense, people's lives are actually put at hazard. And so it was over at, of all places, Teen Vogue. Damn, and I just got my subscription to Tiger Beat. A reporter by the name of Lexi McMenamin says, the New York Times, the Atlantic, more keep publishing transphobia. Why? And they eventually get to their, and it's a rather lengthy piece. You can find it on my Facebook page. And Lexi McMenamin draws some pretty strong, bright lines about the way that both siderism affects the rights of people in this country. They write, liberals do not want to be called white supremacists and strain to distance themselves from Christian nationalists who spent decades sowing rows over Turning. But if you're criticizing trans people for wanting coverage of reproductive rights to accurately reflect a trans-inclusive movement that already exists, perhaps you're not actually invested in fighting white supremacy or Christian nationalism or fighting for reproductive justice, because you can't do these things separately. And they make a profound point in that regard. Some liberals would rather throw their lot in with the same people they spent the whole Trump administration calling the scourge of the earth than take a moral stance for trans people.
There she is, talking about the transes again. God damn it, it used to be a good show.
It's worth the read. I highly recommend it. And, they give props to Representative Rashida Tlaib in a rare but needed show of solidarity from cis women, tweeted in support of Chase Strangio at the ACLU and criticizing the New York Times. During escalating assaults on trans people and trans rights nationwide, the New York Times is featuring writers debating whether trans people should even exist and scapegoating this already marginalized community. Good on you, Rashida Tlaib. The thing is, hers is about the only name. Kind of like the assault on Dr. Rachel Levine that we talked about yesterday. Rachel Maddow covered the new Christian nationalist movement for the better part of her show last night, Jeremy in Vermont tells us, including some of the clips of Maggot Gangrene and others boldly saying they are Christian nationalists and what they mean when they say that. Oh, good. It's getting some decidedly necessary coverage, and of course, it's all Emery and Marveline don't know what nationalist means. They don't know the freight that word carries in the broader fascist discourse. They have no idea.
But they do know what Christian means. Well, I'm a Christian, Emery, aren't you? Oh, yes, I am, Marveline. We're going to go up to the pearly gates and be welcomed right inside. Matt in San Francisco says, unlikely, it's extremely unlikely that a clerk would leak something. They'd be risking their entire future. It's not like people who rise to the occasion and score a Supreme Court clerkship are careless slackers. They're also the type of people who have thought a lot about their futures and all the doors that open once you clerk. It's unlikely that type of person would throw it all away. On the other hand, someone with a lifetime appointment, with for the most part the only way to remove it by death, not a lot to lose by leaking and a lot to gain by forcing your lifetime goal to become a reality. This one is not a hard call, Matt says. If only we had a huge security state that was capable of tracking our every move. Oh, wait. Well, you know, we can track the moves of, you know, people who are Muslims, Jews, Hindus, brown, indigenous, black, various people of color. But you wouldn't want to run around tracking the every move of, say, a good, devoted, conservative Roman Catholic justice who only wants us all to receive the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Of course not. And it being Titanic Tuesday and all, the Associated Press reports out of Atlanta that a judge there has rejected the appeal of voters and affirmed the Secretary of State decision to let marginal trailer queen run for re-election. Chief Judge Christopher Brasher affirmed Brad Raffensperger's adoption of Administrative Law Judge Charles Boudreau's ruling on May 6th that she couldn't be disqualified under the 14th Amendment, you know, for participating in an insurrection, you know, which she did. Judge Brasher, according to Free Speech for People, said he ruled with minimal legal analysis. And they're trying to decide on whether to take it to the Georgia Supreme Court. And then it's an open question after they lose there whether a claim would lie with the Supreme Court of the United States. The answer is probably no. In case, thank you, Leah, New York. You see a headline like this, and say, oh, my God. Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, who, according to at least one group, has a past inconsistent with her self-righteous behavior. I think that's a good way to say it. Well, Clanny Oakley says that marriage is a religious thing, not a government thing. Clanny Oakley, of course, thinks that you can find the Constitution of the United States tucked away somewhere in the New Testament. Because, after all, not to put too fine a point on it, she's an idiot. But I love the headline. Boebert claims that same-sex marriage undermines masculinity. Seems to me that a guy and a woman undermines masculinity to a certain extent. Two guys getting married, you can't get much more masculine than that, now can you? But really, no kidding. I wish I was lying. She went on the Charlie Kirk show, which is a guaranteed Gallup through Bedlam, and babbled as follows. This might be a hockey puck moment. You might want to have it handy. Let's try this. See how much we can stand.
Like many pieces of legislation, this was absolutely rushed through. It didn't go through all of the markup process that we have in committees, and there weren't actual hearings on the legislation. And they really have launched an all-out assault on America's traditional values. But this bill was unnecessary. Look,
God, this word salad has everything but asparagus in it.
I think the federal government should not be involved in marriage. My marriage between my husband is really between me and God, not between me and the government.
And, you know, you, your husband, God, the guy who ran the bowling alley, the underage girl to whom your husband showed his dingus, but the government, the federal government, no.
But this was absolutely unnecessary. They have attacked our institutions. They have weakened the nuclear family. And
wait, our institutions? You mean like the House of Representatives or the Senate? You know, two institutions that got actually attacked with guns? I haven't seen a bunch of AR-15 toting marriage equality advocates out there lately, ever. You?
Undermined masculinity and even femininity. And the people...
Even femininity. Even. Even. Okay, so I got a question. Is there even the remotest chance on earth that this woman understands, say, 40% of the words that are actually burbling out of her festering gob? Marriage equality undermines masculinity and even femininity. Somebody help me with that. Please. I mean, I'm thinking a couple of women in wedding gowns is pretty feminine. Or even in tux and tails. Can be pretty feminine. And a couple of guys, masculine. Yeah, I mean, can we agree? My brain. It hurts as me so sometimes. Steve in New York. Boebert's only between her and God marriage, so she's going to give up the tax advantage of marriage on both the state and national level. She's going to give up the spousal election and inheritance law. How about the ability to visit her husband if he's sick? Steve, you're a lawyer and stuff. I don't think that Lauren Bobblehead Boebert knows much more about her marriage with her husband and God than the fact that he's really not terrible. I'll say he's not terribly happy to have her in Washington, D.C., but I'm not so sure about that either. All she knows is that she's got a clown car between her legs and she needs to go and make him a Sammy. Ooh, that was awful of me. But then again, she's awful. What, am I supposed to be nice about this? Undermine masculinity? Matt says, her statement, tell me you don't know anything about passing legislation or your job without telling me you don't know anything about passing legislation or your job. Yes? But she wasn't done. And I love, speaking of looking like a cow looking at a new gate, even Charlie Kirk with his stupid hat on there, and this was at the TPUSA maggot conference in Florida this week.
Even Charlie Kirk's looking at her like a cow looking at a new gate. Although he is full of bull. Ah.
Who can't even define what a woman is, now wants to get in the middle of defining a covenant between a man and a woman and God.
Now, see, dumbass, there's nothing about God in that bill. Because, as Steve pointed out, her marriage has lots of legal implications on both the state and national level. Yeah, it took me a minute. I had to come unstuck in time and travel all the way back to law school, Steve, when you said give up the spousal election and inheritance law. Wait a minute, we're voting for spouses now? Yeah. High brain. At least it wasn't a Confederate flag this time. Anyway.
Yeah, I get that. I just, why did 47 Republicans vote for it? Like, the Democrats are obviously, they're despicable, but 47 Republicans shouldn't be.
Right, because they don't want attack ads. They are absolutely afraid of attack ads, and unfortunately...
Is that really the whole thing?
It always is the thing. That always is the conversation that is taking place on the House floor.
Build that out for us. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. So you're in the House floor, and people are saying, like, obviously paraphrasing, I'm going to go vote for homosexual marriage because I'm afraid of television ads?
Yes.
Or, you know, maybe there are 47 Republicans out there who actually have gay married staffers who might hit the bricks and leave them having to make their own coffee and shit in the morning or do their own legal research. Or schedule their own meetings. Maybe they understand that people being happy with the people they love, that there are even Republicans. I saw an article earlier coming out of Texas about a guy who was central to the fight for inclusion of the gay community. I know, this is going to sound just absolutely crazy. In Republican Party politics in Texas back in the 90s and whatnot. And he talked about, he was a log cabin Republican. You know, we've referred to them for a long time on this program as the log closet Republicans. I don't think that's unfair or mean-spirited. I think they're stupid. I know it's too obvious an analogy or a simile in this case, but I mean, that's like Ashkenazi for Adolf. Sorry, I don't mean to be problematic. And then the guy said, you know, the saddest part of all of this is that, you know, for a while there, we got to have a booth at the Texas Republican Convention. In 2 years running now, the log closet Republicans can't get a booth at the Texas Republican Convention, which is not surprising considering that the Texas Republican Convention is passing platform planks that say that homosexuality is an unnatural and unchristian, in this word, lifestyle. Look, scrapbooking is a lifestyle. Being a diehard Mountaineer fan is a lifestyle. Decoupage is a lifestyle. You following NASCAR from track to track is a lifestyle. Which gender you are naturally attracted to is just life. Although some people do have style. Only the church, Ron and Raleigh asks. Does this dumbass woman remember the last lines the preacher said when she got hitched by the power vested in me by the state of Colorado, I now pronounce you? Dumb and dumber. No. Yeah. Of course she doesn't. She can't. Jesus. She probably has her own kids' names tattooed above her hairline. Yeah, who are you again? Let me get out my compact. Oh, yeah, Eustace. There, you know, mommy loves you. Matt says, my marriage. Me, my husband, and three dogs. No God involved. Thus the involvement of City Hall. I'm amazed this woman can find her way to work every day. Well, see, that's the thing, Matt. She can't. That's why she has a car. She just comes tottering down the steps of her little townhouse there in somewhere in D.C. And where are we going today, George? Tell me about the rabbits, George. But that's what it's all about, TV ads.
Yes, Charlie. This is this happens on a regular basis, whether it be infrastructure, whether it be funding, whether it be sending more money to Ukraine.
Which is insane.
It is insane. All of it is insane. But they do not want the political attacks to come against them. And, Charlie, I arrived in Washington, D.C. on attack ads, so I'm not really afraid of another one.
And hopefully, you know, you came to D.C. on a big old jet and you'll leave on a big old bus. Of course, if I had my way, she'd leave in the care, custody, and control of the Federal Bureau of Prisons for her participation in the insurrection, but I guess I'm really old-fashioned in that regard. Stephen, New York, Charlie Kirk, his look is the difference between a true believer and someone doing it for the money. He doesn't actually believe this shit. When someone is as batshit crazy as Lauren, even the money can't hide what the fuck looks. Yeah, I think you're right. It's, well, and she might know a little bit about this. The word for that, Steve, and I know you know it, is the password is transactional. Transactional. And if it was the old password game, you know, they'd I don't know, they'd hand off to Betty White and she'd look deeply into the eyes of her contestant partner and say, stripper. And the contestant would probably say, naked. And it would pass to the other side, and using the same clue, her opponent, you know, maybe Charlie Weaver, would say, stripper. And his partner would say, transactional. Ding, 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 ding. This is all transactional. This is, you show up and help me create content, and you get free publicity for doing it. I mean, one of the best examples of the transactional model is the way that Flush Flimball, big old dead Flush Flimball, took control of the airwaves. He got some time, and his ad time was his ad time to sell as he saw fit, but he would give, you know, he would give WFUK in Busted Knuckle, Oklahoma, the program for free as long as they aired his ads. And then they'd get some ads to air of their own. Without regard to the content or the harm or the damage or the hate or anything else that was spewed in those 3 hours every day. And they would pretend, they would like run promos and pretend to really like Rush. you know, just like this, like, and Rush in turn would pretend to really like I got my call sign wrong. That's west of the Mississippi. KFUK in Busted Knuckle, Oklahoma. Hey, you're my friends, you're listening to Talent on Loan from God on KFUK every afternoon from mornings and from 11 to 2 Central Time Zone. Transactional, Steve says, Satan said, how much will you pay for anything you want? And Charlie said, whatever you want, and where do I sign? And, of course, TPUSA was funded, what, originally by Americans for Prosperity, something, you know, one of those filthy groups. And it's a beautiful, beautiful racket. Oh, and thanks, Emilio, for jumping in. You know, if we look at the, you got it down. You got it down to 21-12. Thank you. And then we went on down to 2062. We are at 2062. That's what it's going to take to end the month, pay the bills, and yes, make it possible for me to go to the doctor. God, she makes me feel like Khan. She tusks me. Oh, and from the oops we fucked up on the internet file, the world briefly grieved today. Some of us, at least. To see the news that Tony Dow, so beloved for the time he spent as a young actor playing Wallace Wally Cleaver, G-Beeve, had died. It's like, oh, damn. You know, Ward and June are long since gone to their rewards. Don't know about the Beeve. After sharing a statement on his verified Facebook account Tuesday morning that Tony Dow, an actor and director best known for his role as older brother Wally Cleaver on Leave It to Beaver, had died, Dow's management team has removed the statement. According to Judy Twersky, a longtime friend of Dow's, he was still alive as of 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time when she spoke to Dow's wife, Lauren Dow. And Lauren Dow told Twersky, he's still breathing and receiving hospice care. And we are not going to be so cold and crass and callous as to recall any scene from any particular film about the reign of King Arthur by Monty Python that involved anything of anyone saying, bring out your dead, and body being brought out, and some pathetic soul saying, I'm not dead yet. Ah, you're very ill. You will be very soon. Oddly enough, giving an interview years and years ago. Well, okay, last year. This year. Talking to CBS Sunday Morning, he said that he found out over a hamburger and a malt that he was going to get the part of Wally. And that he had auditioned just on a lark. And he said, and there went my life. Noting it's sad to be famous at 12 years old or something, and then you grow up and become a real person and nothing's happened for you. And he suffered with undiagnosed depression between the ages of 20 and 40. And, he was an early unwitting spokesman and advocate for what we now call bipolar, what back then was called manic depression. And, yes, thank you, Lee in New York, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Jerry Mathers and Jerry Mathers as the Beaver. Jerry Mathers is still with us. And apparently Jerry Mathers has been in contact with Tony Dow, but I saw it earlier today, and I was like, Wally, which is awful. And then, no, still, but he's in hospice. And, well, it's not easy. Not easy at all. And that comes after, who else did? Never mind. This is Titanic Tuesday, so we've got Titanic Tuesday material. Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, who will for at least a little while longer be a member of Congress until like January, early January, did an appearance with Breonna Keeler, I think it was, on CNN. And he actually pulled a Picard. And by pulling a Picard, what I mean is that famous meme of Picard with his head in his hands and, oh, not this shit again. Paul Sorvino. That's who I was thinking of, Lee in New York. Paul Sorvino. What an actor. Uncle to Mira Sorvino. But, no, they had him live on air, and they played a clip of an Emery and Marvoline type who were interviewed at the maggot rally in Arizonistan last weekend. And playing the clip for Adam Kinzinger, Emery and Marvoline said, "We saw it when it all went down," talking about January 6th. "We saw it when it all went down and saw a lot of them," the them, of course, being Black Lives Matter, "and Antifa people in the building as well, and it's just nonsense." And that was when they went back to their one shot of Adam Kinzinger, who was in the Picard position and trying to stifle a laugh. And he went on to try to explain, you know, it's only been Republicans, mainly Republicans appointed by Donald Trump, that have testified. We haven't had a Democratic witness, maybe one or two. I don't know what their personal political affiliation, but it's only Republicans coming in and testifying. And then speaking of Emery and Marvoline, he said, "They're being lied to and manipulated. They're told that somehow Nancy Pelosi or Muriel Bowser controls the National Guard. The only person with control of the D.C. National Guard, by the way, is the President of the United States." So I don't know. Maybe Adam Kinzinger with his head in his hands doing the Picard. That'd be a cute meme. You know, Adam Kinzinger in the mainframe and then a little picture-in-picture of Picard doing the same thing. And then, oh, no, not this shit again. And he did. He stifled a bit of a giggle. But the fact of the matter is, it also must have made him want to eat dirt and run rabbits and put onions in his socks and drink a big old glass of pee-pee. Just like the maggots. Because they're not going to be... they're not swayed by facts. Their God Emperor has told them not to watch the hearings.
"Or I'll turn you into a pillar of salt. Or like a pillar of A1 or something. Heinz 56, not Heinz. But ketchup. I'll turn you into a pillar of ketchup if you watch the hearings."
But sir, ketchup is it.
Shut up! So let it be written. So let it be done. I saw the movie.
Well, just piles up day after day after day after day. By the way, just to follow up to Nikki, I'm sorry, honey. I received a plea via Twitter in the last 24 hours. Please stop saying the name of my state that way. You know, Ohio. That's not how we say it in Northeast Ohio, and it's grating on my nerves. And well, I told her, you know, you'll have to take that up with Steve, so, because Steve is my official how to pronounce Ohio things person. But no, the Dateline from the Associated Press, Columbus, Ohio, which just turns out to be a different indigenous word for Alabama, more and more. I know that's got a grate on decent Ohioans, but, you know, imagine how decent Alabamians feel. Politics is pretty much the same these days. Would that it were not so. But it is. Yesterday, in court in Columbus, 27-year-old well, actually, I don't give his name in here. Fuentes. His name's Fuentes. He appeared in court in Columbus and entered. And I hope we are savvy enough in this community. I'm pretty sure we are, to understand that nobody's going to walk in. It just doesn't happen much in the American judicial system that you just walk in and go, "Yep, I've done it. Yep." He entered a not guilty plea. A not guilty plea to having raped a 10-year-old girl. And, the thing is, as we've noted on the program in the previous episodes, this 10-year-old is by far not the only one. No, there's a case coming out of, and our dear pal Joanne Ann Arbor made me aware of this, case coming out of Cleveland last year, before Roe v. Wade was overturned. A pair of sisters, 10, 13 years old, were raped by the same monster. Not the same monster who raped the 10-year-old, but the same guy, same man, raped a 10-year-old girl and a 13-year-old girl. And the 10-year-old got to have an abortion in Ohio. If it happened now, she would not be able to. But the 13-year-old was too far along and had to go to Pennsylvania to have her life saved. And, kudos to the current Cuyahoga County prosecutor, Michael O'Malley. Along with dozens of other prosecutors, he signed a letter saying that they would not prosecute people who seek or provide abortions. And they said, you know, those two little girls are exactly why they won't. O'Malley said, "The fact that the Ohio General Assembly would not grant victims of rape and incest an exception to receive reproductive health services is inhumane and out of touch with the views of the majority of Ohioans." Well, the majority of Ohioans keep returning the people to the legislature who keep passing the bills that manifest their disgust with anyone who is
a woman capable of becoming pregnant. So once again, that out of touch with the views of language, it just doesn't... doesn't really resonate with me. Oh, and by the way, Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice has called a special session of the legislature here in almost level West by Coal Manchinistan.
No way, shape, form, or fashion should we be allowing anybody to get no abortions in this here state of West Virginia. Probably grow antlers on your head.
And so, today, because this was so urgent that it was worth the taxpayer dollars of the state, one of the most broke-ass states in the union, the House Judiciary Committee voted out, reported out, as it were, a bill that criminalizes abortion completely in this sad minor key state, and it will rush on over to the Senate. It'll go to the floor of the House and then rush to the Senate. Sixteen members of the House of Delegates, members of the House Judiciary Committee, voted down an exception for rape and incest victims. 16 members of the West Virginia House of Delegates, men, and there's the irony. Last week, an ancient law was struck down regarding abortion that was passed entirely by men in the 19th century. And now a bunch of men are doing it all over again. Yeah, who are they? Oh, what a load of winners they are. I mean, there is a self-hating woman, Laura Kimball, who voted in favor of forcing women to carry their rapist's baby to term, forcing mostly little girls to carry to term the product of Uncle Daddy growing in their wombs. And I mean, what a bunch of Lulus. And of course, right there in the midst of them all, the one and only Tom Fast, one of the most odious theocrats in the entire United States, the man that I at least spoke up to oppose during the primary season here in West Virginia. And if you happen to look at my Facebook page, you'll notice that I have put up a photograph of this godforsaken monstrosity, and imploring people to please vote for Gabe Pena in Fayette County's District 51 in November. Imagine being so morally bereft, so ethically dead, that you think a rapist's sperm is more important than the woman he raped it into. But then again, when it comes right down to it, I think this is just my personal belief. I think when these white men vote to make a rape victim carry a rapist's baby to term, I think that, and we've seen empirically derived evidence of this in previous years. White Republican men mostly don't believe that rape even exists, because they are inherently misogynist, they are inherently male supremacists, And they think that if someone has sex with a woman, that on some level, as disgusting as it is to even say, that that woman wanted it. And then there's another little neo, and I mean this, I mean, you remember, for those of you who ever spent probably too much time entirely listening to Dr. Demento, you remember the song Pencil Neck Geek? Do you? Oh no, this one's a pencil neck. Well, coming out of Roane County, West Virginia, there's a, I mean, this is the poster child for Pencil Neck Geek. I'm pretty sure he voted the way he did on this bill because he's probably never been anywhere nearer to a woman than maybe his mother. And I don't mean that way. I mean, this kid is just gross. His name's Riley Keaton, and he is. He's a pencil neck geek. But nonetheless, he's another one of those men who thinks that a rapist's sperm is more to be cherished and loved more by God, remember, than the living woman's body that the rapist has violated. And I mean, you can, if you want to get a look at some of these goons, if you go over to Instagram, Women's Health WV is the Instagram account. And, you know, they've got a rogues gallery up of these freaks. Honest to God, Tom Fast, you put your makeup better than I do, honey. I swear that man's going to be caught with a man in his mouth. Then there's Adam Burkhammer from Lewis County. Delegate David Kelly of Tyler County, the 6th District. This guy looks like he's the rapist whose sperm he was voting in favor of. I mean, them is some crazy eyes. Not much better for Delegate Larry Pack of Kanawha County. Can you imagine the face that goes with, huh? So, huh? Yeah. Delegate Chris Phillips of Barber County? This guy looks like, I don't know. I wouldn't let him within 30 feet of a little boy, that's for sure. Oh! Sorry, I'm being really catty, but that's okay to do with these assholes. Delegate Jonathan Pinson. The pencil neck geek is strong with the Republican Party. Chris Pritt of Kanawha County. They're either pencil neck geeks, they're wearing too much makeup, or they're all bearded and stuff. Oh, there's the Sunday school teacher's delight, Ben Queen of Harrison County. Delegate Moore Capito, son of Shelley.
Well, he's one of those square-jawed kind of guys who says, honey, bring me a martini.
Delegate Brian Ward looks like he got kicked out of his biker gang. But there's 16 of them. And personally, I hope not one of them ever gets laid again. If they ever have been. Not saying, just saying. So, I've been filibustering away. We are down to, what did I say, $2,062 to go, fundraising-wise? And I'm not kidding. I'm sorry. It's just grim. You know, when it gets down to a choice between groceries or bill paying or groceries or insurance or groceries or the car payment or, in my case, you know, medication, I think I'm down to, like, my last 5 doses of metformin, and that shit's cheap. But it becomes kind of an existential problem. Let's run over to the Skype line. Is that you, Tracy?
Yeah.
How are you?
Well, remember when we last talked and I was still, you know, wondering if I was going to be a college graduate because of all the shit that's been happening?
Yes.
Well, it is official. I called Undergraduate Degree Services this afternoon, not long before I called you guys. That's why I'm really calling. And they put me on hold. They're like, oh, God, now what? Well, the reason why she had me on hold was because she was going through my transcript and graduated me on the spot.
Wow. Nice.
So it is official. No ands, ifs, or buts. I is a melanated, graduated person.
Melanated.
Yeah, yes.
Gradutimated.
Melanated, edumacated. I was a college graduate.
I'm so God happy for you. Lord. I am so proud for you.
Oh, my God, Robin. Thank you, because that cunty, that load that's been resting on your girl's shoulders was heavy. Heavy. Because I'm thinking I'm done and everything, but then there was this one class that I hadn't finished up all the work for. It was incomplete. And you know what? One of the good, there was actually some good things that happened because of COVID. Because of COVID, the rules and regulations around incompletes and withdrawals and stuff were nowhere near as strict as they used to be because COVID, and people were under, in many cases, an unbearable amount of stress. And so they, you know, reviewed their policies and like, okay, these are not realistic in the times that we are in. Like a lot of times for certain things, you have to go in front of a committee and you have to get all these signatures. But because of COVID, nobody can be really in the same room. It's bottom line is I am done. I will be starting graduate school on the 29th of August. I still have about $2,000 to go. And I will have all the money that I need for my first semester. It is all good in the hood. So I can breathe. Because I seriously have been in that perpetual waiting for the other shoe to drop situation.
Then that is a terrible feeling.
It is a horrible feeling. Because it seems like, you know what happened. I had to finish the incomplete. My professor knew about it, but I was trying to, all summer long, I had been trying to get a hold of her, and she never responded. So I called the chair of my department. The chair of my department's like, don't worry, I got you. So, and then she called me on Friday and said, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to act as a proxy and just grade your work and turn in a grade for you. And I'm like, everything is great. Great. And then she called me Sunday at 5 o'clock and told me that, oh, Dr. Venegobo, she popped back up and now she wants all this other work. And I just am still not clear to what she wanted, because when I tried to get a hold of her again, she didn't respond. But miracle of miracles, on Monday morning, Dr. Gamish called me and said she graded what I had. I got a B-, which, I'm not a B-minus student, but you really get that grade?
No, that's... No, don't you remember when W celebrated a gentleman C?
Right.
That's the C that really should have been an F, but you got one, but you got a C because your last name was Bush.
Yeah. Well, I've actually gotten, not so much a gentleman C, because, but it was only because I worked... this is when I was in high school, and it was biology, and y'all know girls ain't no science person. And so, but I tried. I would go to, you know, meet with my professor, my teacher, doing, you know, lunch, and I couldn't really stay after school because I was bused, so they didn't have, you know, they didn't have late buses. So I tried. I put in the work. I was a senior, so my teacher rather gave me a C for the effort, and that happened also when I took econ a million years ago when I was going to Valley College, because I tried, and like you said, it wasn't because my last name was W or I wouldn't have gotten it otherwise, but he got it because, like you said, his last name is W. I got the C because I tried. But yeah, a B minus, honey. Girls, pray sweet black baby Jesus. Hallelujah, tis done. What is it? So it is written.
Oh, what? Well, no, you're not going to make me do my Yul Brynner, are you?
Please, oh, come, please. Oh, please. Oh, please, oh, please.
Annette and I had a conversation about this because I said it on the air like Friday night or. You know, I can't just leave all these cheesy impressions. And she looked at me and she said, honey, you've got to. You're a woman. You can't be running around doing Richard Nixon. And
so let it be written, so let it be done. Moses, Moses, Moses. I am tired of hearing of this Moses. Who is this Moses? I am thinking this Moses shall have been a fool. That's a
couple of different movies run together, but...
Yeah. Mrs. Yeah. Anna, take a letter to this Abraham Lincoln.
So it is written, so it is. And this is a shout out to everybody in the Horn family that has been by my side, praying and rooting and all that stuff for your girl. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you.
Well, there's a lot of people who have been involved, you know, following your progress, following your struggle, and following your absolute determination to make this happen.
It has absolutely, positively been a struggle. And again, y'all, I thank y'all. I'm just the sheer weight of the exhaustion that I, you know, because it got to that point where I'm like, because then, you know, we had the conversation about you damn near about to snatch me through the phone if I self-sabotage, because I'm good for that. And, you know, who isn't?
Oh, the higher the stakes, the greater the likelihood, right?
Exactly, exactly. But now I can go on vacation and enjoy my vacation. I mean, the bottom line, though, I had to have this done before I went on vacation, because the absolute drop-dead date to have all this done and paperwork turned in, whatnot, so forth, and blah, 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 was Friday. It's Friday, rather. And so the fact that I got it done, and I mean, and it was no small feat, I'm telling you. I mean, I had, you know.
No, hold on, listen. I'm the one with no small feet. They're women's 13 wides.
But
quit,
I'm buff.
Fuck it, I'm giving myself a cowbell for that.
Yeah, that's a cowbell, baby. But
no small feet.
No small. So when I got the phone call this yesterday morning from my professor to say that my teacher had graded my work, I was on the phone with Bernadette, and Bernadette immediately told me immediately send an email thanking that, you know, the chair of our department and my professor. And so my professor wrote me back and said, you know, I would have given you a higher grade had you done it. And I'm like, I'm gonna, Tracy, don't say anything. I'm like, if you had just told me what else to do, I would have been done, but I didn't know what to do. Let it go. But here's the best part. So my professor is like, I really enjoy reading your work. You're an amazing writer, and I would like to publish, would like permission to publish some of your essays in our literary journal.
That's fantastic.
So, so this will be my third published something in for my school. So, that part.
That's going to stand you in good stead going into the master's degree program. I got to think.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, Lee in New York is right. Doesn't graduation deserve a cowbell? Congratulations to Tracy.
Thank you, Lee.
And Lee is absolutely
Thank
right.
Thank you. I'm very happy. And I am just so now on to shenanigans and bullshit. So did you see the text? Did you see the video clip that I sent you with Mesa Jesse Lee Peterson?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And one of the professors at my college, who was a part in the is part of the Africana Studies faculty. Just the fact, I mean, when I was watching the video, I mean, when Jesse Lee Peterson was talking about to say, well, there's no such thing as racist, because he had a brother on to ask questions about, you know, the Africana Studies Department at CISA.
Really? He came after your alma mater?
I can say that now. My alma, oh my God. He came after my alma mater. And one of the members of the faculty. And it's like, I couldn't watch it all because it was like 20 minutes. And there's only so much pain. I mean, like, I know you take a lot. You take the hit for the team every single day, 24/7. And I couldn't even hang it up for 20 minutes. So for that, Robin, you deserve several cowbells just for listening to the putrid idiocy, what is that movie? Idiocracy. Just the vile, contemptuous blathering of the right, and just that you listen to all this and comment on it and discern it for us again. You deserve several cowbells every hour on the hour, right? Because you listen to this.
Yeah, but we got to be careful because I don't want to wind up like Edgar Allan Poe while hearing the bells, bells, bells.
The bell. But yeah, so I'm feel good. Now I can, like I said, I don't have anything else to worry about. I'm just, it was so funny because I was talking to one of the young men that was in my department, in my program. He's actually doing the same graduate program as I. So I'm very excited that I'll have at least one person that I in my cohort, because I think there's like in the entire cohort, I think there's 30 of us. And so, I was telling him how I didn't want to deal with student loans and stuff. I just wanted to pay for the program in cash. But he brought up a really good point. Sometimes, the Generation Z.
Yeah.
They're the ones that came out the millennials, right?
Right.
Some of them have some pretty smart, after you get past their entitlement, you know, they have some pretty smart, you know, things. So he was like, but Miss Tracy, or in his case, he calls me Auntie Tracy. I have been elevated to the status.
You've been
Auntified. I've been Auntified. I've been Auntified. Yay! So he's like, well, why not take out the loan? Because you have to, instead of using all your cash, take out the loan and just pay it back, you know, over the course of the semester with your cash, instead of putting out all your cash at one point. And I said, son of a bitch. Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, because I am far from a financial planner, but goddamn, that makes sense. You know, that's how, I didn't read the whole article, but there was an article, I remember a million, well, there was an article, I didn't get a chance to read it, because you know how you open up Google, and they have all these articles, and then the article disappears, and you can't find it. But there was an article entitled, How Rich People Get Rich Using Other People's Money. Basically using loans and stuff like that.
Well, right, because that's how the racket works. You don't get rich spending your own money, you get rich spending somebody else's.
Right. And I remember a million years ago, her name was Annette. And she was a dynamo, let me tell you. Funny as hell. But she was saying when her daughter went to college, she went to Cal Lutheran. This was in the 80s. And how the rich white kids were getting student loans even though they didn't need them. Because their parents had plenty of money to pay for their education. But what they did was they got the student loans and used it for down payments on, like, condominiums and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because it was a better interest rate. And plus, this is deferred. the loan is deferred. Payments are deferred until you graduate from school.
Beautiful, isn't it? In its way?
And it's like, how is it not illegal? Well, it's not. Because technically you're using it for housing.
It's just
right?
The kind of housing, right?
Yeah, but still. And I'm like, and you know, when I thought about this, I'm like, some of those bitch, these people, but let it be one of us. That try to do the same shenanigans. Oh, you're defrauding the government. Booga, booga, booga. How dare you? See, this is what happens when those Negroes and the other people try to, you know.
Oh, you're doing it again.
What? Those damn Negroes just trying to, you know.
I mean, weren't we back here last week with the... The meeting down to the Clavern where the Kleagle where the Kleagle was chatting with the exalted Cyclops about Herschel.
See, I was woke because I was voting for one of those Negroes and his claim too.
He quit it. Oh, I got to tell you though, this is absolutely delightful. Did you ever, you know, we know what MAGA originally stood for.
Make America great. But what, is this before Make America Great Again?
No. I mean that's MAGA. But you know, Over the years we've had morons are governing America.
Okay, all right.
More assholes going away.
Right.
I think I'd seen the article, but I didn't have the link to the video. Stephen New York just sent the link to the video along. This may be the best use of MAGA ever.
Oh, do tell.
Mothers Against Greg Abbott.
Wait, I just heard Greg Abbott because the asshole that was in the car next to me.
Yeah, the biker gang next to you. Mothers Against...
That was just one car.
Oh, okay. Oh, that was an automobile? Oh, that was somebody with...
Yeah.
That was some guy with one of those.
With a two-inch penis.
You know, there's a saying around here, it's okay around the house, but it's not worth a fuck on the road. How am I ever going to monetize this program on YouTube if I keep dropping F-bombs? Mothers Against Greg Abbott is a PAC down in Texas. And they have released an absolutely devastating video, and I have it clued up here. Shall we?
We shall.
New political ad calls out Texas Governor Greg Abbott for the state's extremely restrictive anti-abortion law. In 2021, Abbott signed one of America's most restrictive abortion laws. This is all from Now This Politics. It bans the procedure after about 6 weeks with no exceptions for rape or incest. It also allows private civilians the ability to bring lawsuits against any doctor or other individual who aids or abets the performance or inducement of abortion.
Thank you for your patience. There's no easy way to say this, but your baby has a catastrophic brain abnormality.
What does that mean?
It means that parts of her brain didn't form. Your daughter, if she is to survive, will live only a matter of hours after birth. During that time, she will experience a multitude of seizures and ultimately aspirate on her own bodily fluids. She will suffer. A decision will need to be made on termination. I wish I could tell you what to do, but there is only one person who can make this choice.
How much time do I have?
And that person is Greg.
Greg?
Who the f*** is Greg?
They released the ad on July 25th, the day of its release. It had 4.2 million views on Twitter. Greg Abbott and the Texas GOP have neighbors turning against each other. Hold on. Back it up just a hair. Share the statement. Greg Abbott and the Texas GOP have neighbors turning against neighbors by putting bounties on those who seek health care choices that they don't agree with. They are taking our personal freedom over our own bodies, and that is from Mothers Against Greg Abbott. I love that line. Who the fuck is Greg?
Yeah.
But the thing is, the medical condition that the doctor describes there is not unheard of. Not by any stretch of the imagination. And these people... Yeah, I guess because it's mostly white men, Tracy, who are doing this. Although, you know, they have their enabling, self-hating women who aid and abet them. They really have no concept of
decency.
No, pregnancy. I mean, even the misogynist men who have watched, say, a partner or spouse go through a pregnancy, it's all at a distance. They're capable of feeling nothing.
Nothing.
And you know, for the most part, they'd rather. You know, this modern trend for daddies to be in delivery rooms. I mean, can I just not go to the bar and smoke a cigarette or smoke a cigar? No, you can't smoke in the bar. Well, at least drink a half a bottle of scotch. Like a good father should.
That part.
Because otherwise, how can you say no exceptions whatsoever? When that's one of the reasons you'd have an exception. And right. Steve said something earlier regarding that very thing, exceptions. I was listening to Sam Cedar the other day. I say that only so folks know this was not my original thought. Exceptions really are meaningless. I couldn't disagree with Sam's logic. Let's take them in turn. When the life of the woman is in danger, Sam's argument asks, what does this mean? At what point is the woman's life in danger? When she has a 50% of chance of dying? 60%? There's really no quantifiable standard. It's nothing but a ruse to show compassion for exercising dominion over women. And the point, you know, in point of fact, and you know this, having born a child.
That part, I've given birth.
This is the United States of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. And we have the highest postpartum maternal mortality rate
in
the developed world. We have a higher postpartum mortality rate than Cuba. So the fact of the matter is, in Merca, anytime a person is pregnant, that person's life is in danger.
Uh-huh.
The life of the mother is at hazard. And so that
life, and then throw in BIPOC women, especially black women.
And it goes through the roof.
Exponentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things that, you know, right. Well, we're not going to put nothing in there about the health of the mother, because they could say that her mental health could be ruined by having to have a baby. And then they're just going to run out and murder the baby, and they're going to chop it up in little tiny pieces, and they're going to and they're going to have baby ceviche, because that's how them goddamn liberals are.
Oh, God.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not.
And then continuing, rape or incest, and this is an important point. There are essentially only two times this is clear. First, in a case of statutory rape. Second, in a case of an admission of the rapist or person who commits incest. If the victim is of age, this is not really an exception either. This is like life of the woman, nothing but a ruse to show compassion for exercising dominion over women. And again, there's more to it even than that. Unless you can get DNA testing via, I don't know, amniotic fluid and compare it to the father, and that's a time-consuming process anyway, and then you're past even the boundaries of Roe v. Wade.
Right.
And, I mean...
It's just a clusterfuck.
Oh, here where I live, it drives me especially crazy because, you know, I've been following a lot of issues for a lot of time, and I remember when the birth defect study came out. It was a statistical analysis of over a million live births. And it was a comparative analysis of live births among people who live in mountaintop removal communities versus people who don't live anywhere near it. So, for instance, one of the things that came out of this, and, you know, I've been talking about this for years, so everybody's probably memorized it by now. One of the data points that emerged was that if you have a mother-to-be who is doing everything her doctor wants her to do, you know, she doesn't smoke, she's eating right, she's exercising, she's getting great nutrition, she's taking her prenatal vitamins, she's doing everything that we want her to do, and that ostensibly someone who's pro-life would want her to do. But she lives near a mountaintop removal community, and she's breathing that poisonous dust every day of her life, you know, and you can't see it, and it's too small for the subcellular levels of the body to block. It looks like jagged glass under the microscope. Well, okay, so that's mommy one. Mommy two is a horrible mommy to be. She smokes. She drinks. I don't know. Maybe she rubs snuff too, and maybe she's smoking the marijuanas and. She's not exercising. She's just laying around watching Dr. Phil and shit and not getting any exercise and eating garbage. But she doesn't live anywhere near mountaintop removal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the mama who's doing everything she's supposed to be doing but lives near mountaintop removal has 186% greater chance of giving birth to a baby with respiratory birth defects than horrible mommy over here who doesn't deal with it. Okay? That's just one of the studies. I mean, there was brain damage. I mean, there was damage to the vascular system. I mean, all kinds of, and you know. Let me finish. Okay. So when that study came out, the National Mining Association, through a really sleazy law firm in Washington D.C. called Cowell Mooring, issued a statement saying that in West Virginia, that because that's what it focused on. But in West Virginia, the study was not valid because the study's authors did not statistically account for incest.
Say what? What does incest have to do? Oh, I see.
That the birth defects were coming from incest, not breathing poison off of mountaintop removal sites.
Not breathing poison. Okay.
And so the old incest canard is something that bedevils not just West Virginia, but Kentucky, Virginia, God knows, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama. In my life, I've had experience with some families that were so constituted. But the children were all already on the ground. And I guess these men and that one self-hating woman, they can't think about incest because maybe they're afraid that it'll make. I don't know, Tracy. I don't know.
No, there's nothing like we said today. You know, logic does not trump bias. So no matter how many reports, how, you know, logical we sound and how we can prove that shit, it doesn't matter. Crazy trumps logic. Bias trumps logic. You know, and in answer to that report that you were talking about, the same holds true because of racism. You know, because of the high infant and maternal mortality rates in African American women and stuff like that, they were trying to say the reason it was because poverty and poor nutrition and blah blah blah. That's why black women and black babies are dying. And then we had the black woman who was, you know, had a master's degree. At Cedar Sinai. Her husband knew there was something wrong. And she had a C-section. And he kept going to the nurses and all that. They wouldn't call the doctor. They said, it's okay. She'll be fine. These things happen. And blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. She wound up dying. And come to find out, she had a bleed in her uterus, and she literally bled to death right there in the hospital. And there was no reason, because by the time they actually did something about her and took her to the OR, it was too late. Her stomach and everything was full of blood. And then you have the same thing that happened to Serena Williams after she gave birth. And she's like, there's something wrong. And see, so when you have people like this, the woman, I can never think of, remember her name, and they're suing the fuck out of Cedar Sinai. When you have a woman, and then even like Serena Williams, who has more money than God, and even Beyonce, same thing. So when you say that it's only because of poverty, here's the thing. They even have black women believe in that shit, right? Because when I had Alex, now I did everything I was supposed to. Went to the doctor, took my prenatal vitamins, ate well, and stuff like that. Alex only weighed 5 pounds, 10 ounces. And he was full term. I mean, and so we finally, because you had articles in Essence Magazine and stuff like that, finally, when the research came out, that, yes, y'all, it is not about poverty, it is not about economic disadvantage, what have you. It is just down to out-and-out, good old-fashioned fucking racism. So, yeah. So, it's just because, you know, black, you know, there's that thing that black women can tolerate more pain and that black women don't, we don't know about our own bodies and stuff like that. It's like, can you, you know, and I'm so tired of that. I cannot tell you how many times I have been to the doctor and was basically ignored. And it's like, oh, you're overreacting. You'll be fine. When I had my brain surgery, I did not get enough medication. I was in constant pain while I was in the hospital. They did not give me the proper proper dosage of pain medication because we don't feel pain like everybody else because we have a high tolerance for pain. What the entire fuck does that mean? You know, because they're basing it on, what's his name, the doctor, you know, the quote-unquote father of gynecology who experimented on, you know, enslaved black women.
What they did is they were calling you. And if you park your car here, already charging you 2 times.
Okay, thank
so
you.
He said, move your car.
Okay.
Otherwise they keep in,
okay, thank you. And so, sorry about that. And so,
that's okay.
With all that, so you're experimenting on black, on enslaved black women. You think they're going to say, what are they going to say about pain and not using anesthesia? So, of course, quote unquote, we have a high tolerance for pain in their eyes. Because you experimented on our bodies without the benefit of anesthesia, and then there you go. So what are you going to do? So again, this is the world we live in. This is the world we live in.
And it's hard not to think about all that, take it into account. When you look at these merciless, and I would argue homicidal, misogynist men who drive the anti-abortion movement, women aren't driving it. They have some aiders and abettors, but they have aiders and abettors, they are not driving it. They didn't form it. It was formed, you know, it was birthed out of the church, which is inherently misogynist and does not want women in leadership positions. We need to maybe one key to this is to understand the anti-privacy movement as a men's movement. You know, kind of like the Masons have the Eastern Star, and the Klan has the Ladies Auxiliary.
Right.
But the leadership is always male. So, yeah, there's that.
There's that. So, when you know, and then like I said, when you actually have logic, I mean data, backing up the assertions, not just, but the information, they can't handle it. Their little pea brains explode.
Well, I don't think it's even the information. I think they just don't care.
Oh, they don't give a flying fuck. I'm just trying to be nice.
I get it.
And I like the lady that I had. I was telling you about who, like you said, you can smell it on them. You know, Trumpers.
And she got in my cab this morning complaining about this and that and this and that. And I'm thinking, if you guys get your way and, the Republicans take over these programs like Access and stuff like that, that welfare and all that, they don't consider it this a right. They consider it a welfare thing. All that shit's going to go away, especially what I particularly love are those fools you see flying down the street or the sidewalk in their, motorized wheelchairs with their Trump flags and their American flags waving through the air and knowing full well that if it wasn't for Medicare or Medicaid, they would not be able to get those things. And yet, it never ceases to amaze me. These people who, they live and breathe Fox News, and Fox News, they're not even bothering to air the hearings, right? The January 6th commission hearing. And then Trump told his followers, don't watch it. And even if it did, and here's the thing, Robin, we both know, even if they did watch it, wouldn't matter.
No.
It would absolutely
logic and facts never cut through bias.
Nope. I mean, we are dealing with a whole lot of confirmation bias. And so, it's just, so when they, and I think you were talking about this earlier, about that, how dangerous that both-siderism is, because, as you said, it is killing people. It is lethal to the left. And I'm so tired. It's like I am so tired of them saying, "Oh no, we need to hear both sides of the argument." Why?
There are arguments to which there are not two sides. There are not two sides to January 6th, Tracy. There aren't.
No.
And there's not two sides to whether or not some of the crowd was Black Lives Matter and Antifa. It just wasn't.
Just wasn't. It just wasn't. So I just got a text message. Justice Department investigating Trump's action in January 6th criminal probe.
Well, it's interesting because I saw a story earlier today. Where'd it go? And it had to do with Merrick Garland. Saying that you did not.
What did I say?
Uncle Merrick.
I just said Uncle Merrick. What's wrong with that?
The fact that you had to play the "what I do" card tells me everything I need to know.
Why come you bothering me?
We are not going there again.
Okay, I'll behave.
But no, Merrick Garland said, any investigation of Trump will be without fear or favor. And it will also not happen until, sometime after 2025 when he can't be investigated if he wins re-election. Right. I mean, it's just really depressing.
It is
and so infuriating.
Depressing and infuriating. Because one thing I can think of.
Oh, there it is. There's the quote. Just took me a minute. Comes out of the Guardian. Garland, justice without fear or favor will guide decision on charging Trump. He said today he would pursue justice without fear or favor when it comes to weighing political sensitivities around his decision on whether to charge Trump. because apparently, and this is one of those media moments that I just absolutely despise, Tracy, NBC released a clip of its eagerly awaited interview with Garland on Tuesday. The full interview was due to broadcast this evening. And the Department of Justice is itself investigating Trump's election subversion efforts. And blah, 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 but they, you know, they released a clip, you know, because matters pertaining to the life or death of the Republic are not nearly as important as putting out a teaser to gin up eyeballs on screen so that they can sell cars and soap and pesticide.
Right.
And, you know, dick pills.
Dick pills. You know, speaking of dick pills.
Oh, no.
Not that I really care about dick pills. No. I just, when you said that, I haven't seen a dick pill commercial in quite a while, actually.
Come to think of it, I haven't seen anybody sitting in an out of place bathtub at the end of a dock in a sunset in a very long time.
But in a very long time. So, what happened to the dick pill commercials? Is there a war, Robin? Is there a war against dick pill commercials?
Yeah, don't, please. No, don't say
Freudian
that.
Freudian, that was bad. I did not mean to say that.
I have enough of those. Thank you very much. You know, it's crazy. You put on your profile, don't send them, I'll block you. And I guess they want to find out if you mean it, because boom, 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 block, 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 block.
Ew, that's gross.
I know.
It goes back in the day when I was, you know, heterosexual or whatever. And, I was on the online dating scene, and I would get dick pics, and I'm like, first of all, do I know it's even yours? It's just a random dick. So how do I know that belongs to you? What? What?
I don't know. That just sounds like a porn star's name. Random dick.
random dick! It does! Wow.
Starring Down Low Donna and Random Dick.
DLD.
Wow,
it's
a wow, wow.
RG. Wow, it's a wow, wow. See, this is why we can't have nice things.
Hey, I got to send out some thank yous. Thank you so much to Charlene in Rogues Island, an original founding member of the Sorority of Leans, also a member of the Queen Tracy Reverse Oreo Society. Thank you to Charlene, and thank you to Todd. Thank you both so much. We are now down to 1942. $1,942 to finish July.
Christ almighty.
1942.
Oh.
And, you know, fingers crossed. By the way, subject line dick pics, Matt says, gay men send them like baseball cards, just saying. Are there statistics on the back, Matt? Batting average, on base percentage. Length in the majors. Oh!
You know what? See this again? See right here?
Can't get this anywhere else. Then there's probably people who wish they couldn't.
I mean, there's people going up. It's like that uppity one is on the phone.
You know, I remember. I remember when she used to be respectable.
When she used to be respectable. And then that other one, that dark one.
She ain't never been nothing but trouble.
She ain't never been. See, she has opinions and shit.
Now,
don't she know her
now,
place?
Now, hold on a minute. I think you channeled your inner Wanda Sykes for a minute there. I'd never heard that before.
Yes. No. These things slip out, and you know. And see, you know, now I'm a college graduate, so
right.
Now I'm even more dangerous, Robin.
Well, yeah, you are, and you have to be able. You have to learn how to say motherfucker while holding the caviar spoon just so.
Just so, and you know, and drinking my tea with my panty, and you know, holding the saucer and holding my pinky just so. What?
I mean, it's you're in a different world now.
I know. I was talking to somebody, and it's so funny. I think I told you guys the story. You know, last fall, I got picked to work on a major project. Oh, shit, I could put that on my CVs, too, for the school about having identity-based resource center. You know those damn identity politics there, Robin.
No.
Bruga. So there's Dr. Gamage, who is just the queen on high. She is just yamaya, and you just kind of want to bow down. She is so regal, Robin. You can't help but just want to just say, yes, queen, and in a whole different way, okay? And then there was Dr. Freddie Sanchez. Now, see, I will never call Dr. Gamage anything but Dr. Gamage because I just can't. I don't care if I have 5 PhDs. I will never be able to call her anything but Dr. Gamage, right? And so Dr. Sanchez introduced himself to us, I said, how would you like us to address you? He said, oh, you can just call me Freddie. I said, no, I can't. He's like, why? I said, look, you are a Latinx brother who worked his ass off to get his fucking PhD. I will never, ever be able to call you Freddie. And he's like, well, I can't hear you call. He's like, don't call me Dr. Sanchez. So we agreed upon Dr. Freddie. I said, because see, here's the deal. I told him, had you been a white guy, I would have no issue calling you by your first name at all. And so I told my professor, Dr. Watson, who is the coolest white guy ever. Pretty, you know, that sounds pretty fly for a white guy. That's him. He was my Latin teacher. And, you know, we talked about black people during the Roman Empire and, you know, took those things that people don't believe existed and the obvious racism. And he had no issue, and he loved the fact that I was in his class, right? It was because it's one of those things where he's been dying to talk about this shit, but you know, couldn't really bring it up because, you know, Peggy and Becky and Chad, and you know, they were just get their little feelings hurt about, oh my God, why does it always have to be about race? So when I had brought my loud black ass in the class, it was like freedom. So I recounted what I said to Dr. Sanchez. To him, I said, well, you know, if you told me I could call you by your first name, I would be saying Tim all day long. And he's like, yeah, and I would have no problem with it. But I still call him Dr. Watson. Or Professor
hell
Watson.
Hell of a lot of work goes into that PhD.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes. And on top of the fact, not only all the work and the time and the fucking money, and then when you go into academia, you aren't getting shit. You ain't getting paid shit.
No, you might get to be an adjunct.
You might get to be an adjunct, so if you
and you don't even, and you don't, and you, you don't know, even make as much as an adjunct as you make being, you know, a line cook at Taco Bell.
Right. Like my girl Gina, you know, I told you, you know, she's been one of the people that has been in my corner. She just got her PhD from Clark Atlanta, right? But she still has to get food stamps. She was talking to another one of her friends who is a PhD. And she's like, I'm one of the most educated, brokest motherfuckers in the world. Because, you know, yes, it's awesome that you have your PhD and all that, but you're still broke. And that's, I call bullshit. I just do not, I just, the money that we pay or that is paid to these worthless CEOs. I was listening to something. The average CEO, or, you know, executive, whatever, gets paid way for over 600 times what their average employee gets, the people who actually work and make the money for these assholes. Talk about welfare. These motherfuckers sit on their asses eating bonbons and watching the stories. Yes, I said it.
They're stories.
Decent, hardworking, the stories, true facts. You're making, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars a year. But the people who are actually doing something to maybe, you know, change the world or make it a better place, get buckets. Because there was another story that I heard about teachers are saying, you know what, I'm out. I'm done. And it's not the children. They love their kids. But between the lack of pay, the lack of respect, and all the shit that they have to go through as teachers, why am I doing this? And then on top of that, now you throw in the culture war, as you know, people call it, where, you know, so that part. Teachers can't even teach, depending on what state you live in. You can't say gay. You can't say anything about the true history of this country and all this other stuff. And they're like, I did not get into teaching to have to go through this shit.
Oh, I know. Oh, and speaking of which, I saw an announcement from a one, I mean, he's one of the best sports writers in the country, if not the best, Dave Zirin. And he's done such brilliant work, you know, documenting the Mexico City protests, you know, with the Black Power salute and what happened to those guys afterward.
Oh, those happened to those brothers afterwards? Yeah.
But he has been contracted to write a biography, and I can't wait to get my hands on it after he's done. He's just starting. But he's been contracted to write a biography of Howard Zinn. And the things that happened in his
wow.
and the things that happened in his life that came to, that brought him to writing A People's History of the United States, which I still think should be in every high school in the United States. But of course, it's practically a banned book.
Speaking of banned books, or just, you know, blacklisted people, so Amari Baraka, formerly known as Leroy Jones. So, you know, the radio station out here, KBLA, his daughter, Dominique De Prima, has his, you know, first things first with Dominique De Prima, and is on out here. And if you ever get a chance, look her up and listen to the podcast of her show. They are fucking amazing. So anyway, and she's almost as good as you when it comes to people calling in. It's not just a 5-minute snippet. We actually have conversations. So
she has to deal with advertising, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, but nothing like she used to. KBLA, they don't have a lot of advertising. Most of the they have some advertising, because remember, black-owned radio station. So we're not going to get the big advertising dollars. Most of the advertising is from local sponsors, not national. So anyhow, a caller called in today, and he, because I guess on the other day they were talking about, she wanted a veteran to call in to give his opinion about something. And this brother called in. He was a former, he was a retired Air Force vet, and had actually gotten awarded the Presidential Medal of Honor or whatever. He's like, I was proud that I got that medal, but I was not happy when I got it. He was President Reagan, and Alexander Haig is the one that pinned the medal on me. So he's like, you know, if he was listening to the show, he would have said I went home immediately and took a bleach shower. Well, anyway, he was telling me, he's like, I just read and it's been years. Your father's poem, who blew up America, or who really blew up America? And that poem was written in response to 9/11. Now, he at the time was the poet laureate of New Jersey. And of course, when he, now, in full transparency, he really felt that 9/11 was an inside job, that it had nothing in, and people accused him of being anti-Semitic, which was not true. He was just anti, you know, he was pro, he was an ally with radical Jewish people, and, you know, he was just anti what they've done to the Palestinians in Israel. Well, long story short, they try to get rid of him as the poet laureate of New Jersey when he released that poem, and he said, "Fuck y'all, I'm not leaving. You're going to drag me out this bitch," and they couldn't fire him. So what do? They eliminated the position, period.
Naturally.
And then, because he actually had a deal with Columbia University to host his papers and all that. That went away. And he had a whole bunch of things, speaking engagements and all that. All that went away. And, of course, you know, the only place that he could actually work was Italy and the Soviet Union. Hold on a second.
Twice the system captured. They used to close the arch.
Oh, okay.
Twice. So don't park the movement.
Okay, thank you.
I gave a refund. I was starting on the speaker.
Didn't hear it. Okay. And so all that. So that it even affected her when she
you
was
sound a little dismissive. Didn't hear it.
Yeah. Motherfucker. Did I? Oh, yeah, whatever it is. And so, so they even confronted her at her school. Like, well, did your father write this poem? She's like, what's your father? So, you know, so her point being, she's like, it is amazing when people on the left write, you know, speak truth to power. And she mentioned not only her dad, but Paul Robeson and stuff, you know, like that, people like that. And who else? Paul Robeson, and she mentioned other but black people. You said, but when it's a, you know, somebody on the far right who, I forget who she said it, what, who said it, because I know you will remember that, you know, all black babies should be aborted. And they get, you know, they get speaking engagements or shows on Fox. So there's always a different set of rules, you know, because, like, of course, there's freedom of speech. And there's the consequences, what happened, but the consequences for people who look like me are so different than the people, or even the people on the left. And it makes me think of, like, I don't know how it's in story, but I can't even imagine the shit storm that hit, that he went through after he wrote his book. I can't even imagine what he went through, because I read that book years ago. Because it was actually, I didn't read it in high school, but I think I read it, you know, 30, 40 years ago or whatever. So it's definitely something I need to revisit. But still, when we do stuff or say stuff, that's truth. Or, you know, or but the every time I think about what happened to Paul Robeson, it literally breaks my heart. I mean, that man, here's the best part. He got kicked. Are you ready for this? He actually, he was actually Amari Barak, God, I can't think of his name, just gone. He was actually in the Air Force, Robin. And you know what? He got kicked out of the Air Force because he was reading too many books.
That book, yeah, that edumacating in that book reading, that'll get you every time.
that'll get you every time. So it as much as I know the history and I know what this country is capable of when it comes to my folk, it still shocks me. And I don't know why it does, but it does, because there's that part of me that really keeps hoping that things are going to change.
Well, and they can, and they have to, and there's a caveat in Dr. King's quote about the moral arc of the universe. And right. Everybody, I think we tend to just sort of blow past it, Tracy. The moral arc of the universe is what?
Just say it, because I'm tired.
The moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice.
If
you look at, like, the Gateway Arch in St. Louis, that's a parabolic arch. And it's like, you know, here's one leg, there's the other leg. I mean, it's a big monument and everything, but it's kind of a short arc. On the other hand, compare that to the moral arc of the moral arc of the universe is long, and it is so long that to the casual observer, and I think maybe that's what he was getting at, the moral arc of the universe is long, and so long to the casual observer that it looks flat. It looks like it's not an arc at all.
Yes.
But the direction
now
toward which it bends...
Now you're doing that science-y shit now.
But the direction toward which it bends is toward justice. And he's got another quote, and I need to look at it. It's every bit as stirring, because he talks about... There's a quote where he talks about love without justice is just squishy, touchy-feely. Who gives a fuck? And justice without love is just viciousness. And that the one must temper the other in order for there to be anything resembling real justice.
Well, it's kind of like when he said, and I'm definitely paraphrasing, I can't change men's heart, but I can legislate their fucking action.
Well, that too, absolutely. Yeah. Well, listen, it sounds like somebody wants you to do something, and I'm going to try to get another call in here.
Yeah, no, I'll go. But I just realized something when I did my birthday pledge, and then I couldn't figure out what to do, and I signed up for the $10 a month and all that. I pledged 30, but I only in with a total of basically 40. So I guess I still owe you $20. So
I don't think you owe me anything. Nobody ever owes anything here. But
okay, I pledged whatever I pledged. I came up short. So since I was short $20, let's do a $20 pledge. You know, what have you. And if somebody meets my 20, then I'll throw in another 20.
Okay, so that would come to... That would get us down to 1882.
Nice. And we'll call it Tracy's moral arc. The arc is long, and it bends toward justice, but we will get there. Just like... We will get there with you and the rest of the money that you need for the month of July.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you. And whoever it is that's hectoring you, they can fuck right off.
Oh, yeah. Now, these motherfuckers... See, here it is. I am basically the only woman in the... Seriously, one of the few and only female cab drivers in the city of Los Angeles. And definitely one of the only black women. So... I got all this testosterone swirling around me, and it's choking me. But I just basically say, fuck off, go away, leave me alone. Kind of like I did with the Karen the other day who, you know, had to tell me that I was parking in a handicapped space, because even though I had a handicapped sticker placard. So it's just like, get the fuck away from my standard response is, get the fuck away from my car. And usually I don't even have to say it. I just give them that get the fuck away from my car. Black woman stare that usually scares the fuck out of people. So it's that. So anyway, I love you. Y'all, please, please, please. Robin needs help, y'all. And again, this is directed to the people who I know have a little extra change in their pockets. And I know it's annoying that, you know, you feel that you may, why do I always, because bitches, y'all, we need Robin. And I don't want to hear no whining, no complaining. I just open your checkbooks, open your pocketbook, go into the purse that we, you know, the women call bra, and go into your pocket chain or whatever the fuck, wherever your extra, that pin money and all that. Do what you got to do. Because the month is ending. What's today's date? Today's the 25th? Or the 26th?
26th. And there's two more broadcasts after tomorrow. Or after tonight. Two more broadcasts.
Yes. Two more. After tonight. So, wait. Is today Tuesday? So there's only two
it's
more.
It's Tuesday. Today's definitely off? Tuesday.
So you said there's only two more broadcastings after...
Yeah, Wednesday and Thursday, because tomorrow. At least in theory, I'm on the road so I can go get my checkup on Friday.
Oh. Okay, so so that makes it even more crucial that Robin might not even probably be on the air on Friday on the front porch, where we do the Friday on the front porch miracle. So it is even more crucial that people contribute so my girl can stay on the air, because I need her, we need her, and we need to show our fucking appreciation for who she is and what she fucking does for this goddamn community. So, y'all, come on now. Quit playing. Y'all playing too much. Quit playing and start contributing. And so that's my sermon in a minute. I love you.
I love you dearly.
And I hope to talk to you soon.
I hope we will. Go on now, graduate.
Go on now. Get it. I'm out.
See
ya.
Bye. And so if somebody will crank out $20, we'll be down to $1,882, and that'll give us basically $941 to do tomorrow and $941 to do on Thursday, and hopefully make it to the end of the month. Whew. Meanwhile, let's run over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Robin, and congratulations, Tracy. I'm proud of you.
Aren't you just?
I was in tears.
Oh.
Goddamn. Well, I know how hard she's worked for this.
Well, and you know a little bit about bearing up under a struggle.
Yes, I do. And so, I'm going to be making a couple of T-bone steaks tonight to celebrate. I don't care about the calories. These are graduation calories. They don't count.
They do not count. That's right, Dave.
I wanted to run something past your word-knowing skills there, Robin.
Oh, dear.
Well, I was thinking about my conversation with my... fascist little brother over the 4th of July. He kept referring to the China virus, almost like Trump. And I thought about how Trump actually pronounces China.
China.
He says China. G-I-N-A. Yeah.
Well, I spell it G-Y-N-A.
Right. Well, whatever. Anyway, I think, according to Trump English, which, you know, supplants the Queen's English. Trump English, the VA angina is silent.
I see what you did there.
I'm the next time he starts that stuff, I'm going to hit him with it and watch my sister, who's a teacher of 30 years experience, burst out laughing. Because she'll know when I would think
that would be rich.
But I'm wondering, is that grammatically correct? The VA is silent.
The silent VA. Yes.
Well, that would explain why Christine's having so much problems then.
Because the VA is silent.
Well, yes. Well, here's the thing, Robin. I told you about the lump they found.
Yeah.
Well, her doctor says she wants to wait a year to see what it does.
Pardon me if that makes me just want to eat dirt and rabbits.
Well, you can imagine, and it doesn't take too much imagining for me, how our girl responded to this. Christine, who has been an advocate for her own health for several years, since they told her she had a urinary tract infection and it turned out to be pulmonary embolisms, she asked for a referral to St. Francis Hospital, which is in an adjoining county, just outside of Indianapolis, outside of Marion County. And the doctor said she wouldn't write the referral to them because they were out of county. And Christine said, but you'll send me to a clinic in Bloomington, which is out of county. So she talked to community care, which is the portion of the VA hospital that pays for outside consults. They said it doesn't matter where they send you. They can send you anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
And so she called back the doctor, and the nurse gave her grief. And she said, I want you to tell the doctor that if she doesn't write the referral, that it's going to be me, her, patient advocacy, and the chief of medicine of the hospital in one meeting, so I don't have to repeat myself.
Over and over and over again.
God, I love that woman. She also had to take, I told you she's preparing to exercise her option on her trailer. And she's hired an attorney. And the attorney is making accommodations for her because of her low vision. He's got a set appointment with her for a couple of minutes every Friday at 9:30 in the morning. So Christine had called her about something because the VA might have to send her back to Chicago for some training. And his secretary said, well, you have to ask permission before you go out on a vacation trip. And Christine said, lady, I'm blind. They're sending me to a blind school to train me in skills I need to have. So when the lawyer called her, she told have him call me today. He did. She laid this at his feet, and he said, don't worry, I will talk to her. So Christine's been a very busy girl.
Justifiably
in the last
so.
Couple of days. And not only that, but she's getting things done with the storage shed and cutting down on her expenses. And speaking of expenses, if Tracy does take the loan, and I'm putting on my my old hat because I worked in financial services advising clients on consumer debt. Do not pay it back all at once. Make sure that you pay it at least 6 months, and to make a larger payment in your first payment so it gets reported as paid better than expected. The reason you do it for 6 months, it won't show up on your credit report if it's less than 6 months. You have to have a certain length of time before that will hit. And it only stays on a good citation on your credit report only lasts 5 years. Bad ones can last up to 10, depending on what type of notification it is. Basically, credit report bureaus are nothing but a bunch of mean girls from high school gossiping about your payment history, and that's why there are so many mistakes on your record. Everybody needs to pull their triple report at least once a year and go after the mistakes. One time, Christine had $1 million, repossession of $1 million home in California. Well, she's never had $1 million home, and she's never lived in California. And she got that successfully removed. So, Tracy, go ahead and take the loan. Use the money to get an asset that will perform, or increase your stake in an asset that will perform. And pay it back, but at least give yourself 6 months to a year to pay it off. That way you can show them. And the other thing I would say is your first payment should be like a double payment. That way it automatically, you can point to, I paid it back faster than expected. I made larger payments than expected occasionally. And that will increase your credit score. That will help you build your wealth. And you might as well, old white guys have been doing it for centuries. And now that other people get to do it, they're bitching and moaning. So, and now everybody knows that I am currently wheelchair bound.
Right.
As is, Governor Greg Aspott of Texas. I have a theory. When they prosecute, the first woman they prosecute for leaving the state of Texas to get an abortion, I should probably file a suit in court in Texas against Greg Aspott. Women to leave the state to receive abortions. The law doesn't, from what I've read so far, does not say anything about exempting government officials. And it says nothing about what form the encouragement takes. So if I can get $10,000 from Aspot, that'd be great. Oh, and by the way, can...
I love the fact that you're working on the shakedown, Dave.
Well, there is some sad news in the fake business world.
Oh, no.
Well, yes. You know how you go on and on about the WWE being fake wrestling?
Well, I didn't know I went on and on, but thanks for that.
Well, you have done so in the past, ma'am.
Guilty as charged.
And, Vince McMahon, the now former CEO of WWE, resigned Friday amid, wait for it, an investigation into hush money paid over decades for consensual affairs and unwanted sexual advances toward four different
women.
No,
not Vinny.
That's right, Vinny.
I would never have thought of that. Not him.
Yes, that pillar of business virtue, Vincent McMahon, the guy who gave Donald Trump his wrestling career, and whose wife grifted in the Small Business Administration for no small part of time. He's gone. He's not even on the creative staff anymore.
This is a bit of a portmanteau. Shall we say he got ailsed? Was Vince McMahon ailsing? What?
I think he might have been.
How's Vince? I don't know. He's been ailsing.
Well, see, here's the thing, Robin. I've had to call a meeting between Gladys and HR and the company's legal team. We're going to have to take a half day, paid, of course, to go over the sexual harassment policies in the company with the folks on the floor, so that everybody knows, you know, what they're supposed to do. Because this has really bothered me. This is going to cost me real fake money, right?
I know. I mean, this could really impact the real fake bond rating.
And I don't deem being a leader in the crucifixion service industry. I don't want any aspersions cast on professionalism or.
Well, heavens no.
Well, I have a reputation to uphold, and we've been doing it for 80 years, even though I'm only 57. I know. Robin, don't try to cipher it.
My brain, Dave, my brain's is hurting. My brain's is hurting.
It'll just give you a headache. I didn't mean to do that to you. But no. But that's why I'm calling in today. One last thing before I go. Now, Miss Representative Boebert, isn't she the one that has the flashing hubby?
Yes, yes.
And wasn't she accused of flashing her as a teenager?
I think she's... I don't know if there was flashing involved, but there are allegations out there that she was an escort?
Well, let's not deal with the mechanical issues now, Robin. You know, there was probably a recall there. Ford probably didn't like the fact that she rolled off the assembly line. And he's been trying to get her back into the factory. ever since.
I can understand.
Yeah. I have a feeling that we're talking about two different types of escort here.
Well, yes, we are. We're not talking about the little Ford shitbox.
Oh, we're not talking about the car. Oh,
no,
okay.
No.
You're talking about that.
Never,
kind of,
right. Never mind.
Yeah, never mind.
Oh, and by the way, Tracy just messaged me and said, tell Dave thank you for his sage advice. I will take it and run with it. And please tell him how much I appreciate his congratulations. Love and kisses from Tracy.
Love you too, Tracy. And Christine will be so excited when I tell her.
Oh.
Oh, well, I give her updates on the program since she can't quite get dialed in on her phone.
I love being.
She is considered,
I love it that this community is part of y'all's life.
She's considering getting another Tomcat kitten after I told her about Lady B coming up with the name Chairman Meow.
Oh, yeah.
And so Christine is looking for another Tomcat kitten, and she's going to name him Chairman Meow.
Well, you know, it probably needs to be a tortie because they have some red in them.
Well, that's Chairman Meow had a little red book. Why not a little red fur?
Right. So, Chairman Meow.
Yeah.
And torties can also be kind of ruthless. So that would fit too.
Yeah. Well, she's had a couple of torties, so she's used to their aggressive.
You might get Chairman Meow in there with Christine, and Chairman Meow might decide to go for a great pounce forward.
Well, there is that. Also,
this is fun.
The Kittens Republic of Shortridge Road, which is a thing. There's a wild clowder of cats in Chris's complex. So Chairman Meow will probably be organizing them to take over the world. I know this has been a feline thing for centuries.
It's all just a matter of thumbs. Thumbs. They solidify the evolution of thumbs, and we're screwed.
Yeah, that's correct.
We had telling cat stories on the radio show is probably not the best thing for me, but so. We had a moment the other day. I got up, and the girls, that would be Mocha and Lucy, had gone in, and they had pulled, you know, years and years and years ago, there was a commercial featuring a wonderful, wonderful running back from Pitt named Craig Ironhead Hayward. He has since passed away. But he was promoting the fact that you got one of those free scrubby thingies with a bar of soap. And he said, you mean you want me to use this floopy thing? And so it has ever since then become a floopy. Well, the girls had pulled a floopy out of a basket down into their water dish. And, of course, floopies are absorbent. And got up the next morning, walked into the bathroom, and There's the floopy sitting in the water dish, obscuring their access to the water. You know, they weren't suffering or anything. You know, if they get down to a half a pound of cat food, they start meowing because they think they're going to starve to death. But they were both of us looking at me like, bitch, what? We don't have thumbs. We can't move the floopy. Well, you knocked it in there. That's neither here. Get the floopy out of the dish, Robin. And so I removed the floopy, changed their water, and they both sat down next to the water dish and looked at me like they were completely disgusted. I'm like,
well,
what?
You know, they have to worry.
Took long
they
enough.
They have to worry about allowing you to live in their house, Robin.
Yes.
You know, they can always replace you.
Send me off.
Go and turn on.
Yeah, send me off to a re-education camp.
Well, I think they'll have to talk to and Ralph's, about that. Yeah, they Ralph's, might have to ship you out here.
Yeah, Ralph's, yeah. Ralph's reminds me, 99% of torties are female because the calico tortie gene is on the X chromosome. So, yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, Christine's had
Chairman. Hey, some chairman meows are just girls, okay? And by the way, you might enjoy this. You were talking about sexual harassment training. Matt in San Francisco, who has no small amount of experience in retail, says sexual harassment training, that was one of my favorite trainings to facilitate. I always marveled at how quickly the women understood versus how many questions the men had about what exactly constituted harassment. So the women are like, oh, okay. And the guys are like,
they want to walk
so I can't, like, pinch, but can I, like, talk about grabbing ass? No, you can't do that either.
Yeah.
What if, no, stop with the what ifs. Don't do it. Don't think about it. Don't even, no.
Just stay away from the entire thing entirely.
Right. Entirely. There we are. Dave, have yourself a great night and give our best to Christine, please.
I will, Robin. I will tell her.
All right. Thank
Good
you.
Night, Robin.
And my best to the gang down at the shop. I'm sorry about all that happening.
Well, it's the burden of management, Robin.
Well, it is. And that's it. That's what comes with being an entrepreneur.
At least everybody's calling. I'm thinking I might throw a barbecue afterward.
That'd be nice.
To kind of team building kind of thing.
Sure. Team building's always good. And if you've got any hickory remnants left over from crucifix making, it'll be great on the ribs.
Well, we tend to use oak, but that makes for a nice slow burning fire. I saw a guy making a handle for a millstone. And he was using a draw knife and had these big, beautiful, long shavings.
Oh, those are lovely. You're right. Oak is a slow-burning fire. Your neighbors over there at Pyres R Us, they were talking about just that thing the other day. You have nice, slow-burning fire, you know. You don't want to have to throw on a bunch of that nasty, fast-burning, soft, pulpy pine.
Well, I almost had to call the cops on them last week, because they were discarding this year's leftovers from the 4th of July. And how should I put this? Less than legal mortars were used. Nothing official, of course.
No. Just like the. Old cut open beer keg, that kind of thing, right?
Paint cans. And almost had to call the cops, but these, of course, would be real fake cops, which would probably be more effective than the actual Marion County Sheriff's Office. But
because at least their body cams are real fake body cams.
And they're on. So I'll talk to you later, Robin.
All right. Have a good night, Dave. Bye now. And so it's been a busy and eventful Titanic Tuesday. Prayer meeting Wednesday comes around tomorrow. And we find ourselves at 1882, because somebody's going to come up with that $20 to match Tracy's challenge. 1882. And we will try everything. And hopefully, when I get back on the second day of August, there will still be a show to come back to. So, fingers crossed. Thanks, everybody. Thanks so much for being Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks for your a la carte contributions. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people. I know the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice. And now a proud union shop. It is absolutely amazing what a small band of determined individuals can do to at least facilitate the occasional ulcer in a coal executive. Please stay safe. Get your second booster. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Wear your mask in areas frequented by the probably unvaccinated still. And, you know, if some squirrely little brunette woman comes towards you talking about how marriage equality's ruined masculinity and even femininity, avoid that Clanny Oakley like the plague. Because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.